Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Today is the 11th. I almost said of September. Month is it? July, year of our Lord 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show, presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic.
I was excited to pod today. Sorry we took a week off, people.
There's so much energy in this Zoom right now. We did take sort of an unannounced week off. We did announce, I think, either the last Monday, we were like, hey, no pod tomorrow. What had happened was I actually wouldn't have, because sometimes if we know we're going to be busy on Monday, we'll just record Sunday but still drop Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Turns out I was actually, I think we were both busy that day, but we didn't even ask each other because we were like, well, we always record on Monday. We'll be fine. But Monday was 4th of July and we were both doing things. So we're like, eh. Yeah.
And there was nothing going on. And I mean, free agency
Agency had just happened. But yeah.
It was quiet.
We didn't really get to break down like the Nerlens Noel, Alec Burks thing. We can do that at some point in this episode.
We'll talk about free agency and that trade after Summer League.
Cool. So before we even get to Summer League, and I want to lead us into it because I have a question that everybody's going to want the answer to. Before we get to that, James, you today had a story about Sadiq Bey come out. What was that about?
Yes, I did. I talked to Sadiq in Vegas late last week, and funny story. So as a reporter, there are many ways that you get story ideas or get information that lead to story ideas. Most of the time, I'm around the people enough that like you get to know them and they share information and you learn stuff like that. Other people tell you like, hey, this person did this. Go check it out. Ask them about it. Mm-hmm. Or, and this is my favorite so far, the person in my Twitter replies who replied to a tweet about Sadiq with no photo and 5 followers told me that Sadiq has been in Colorado working out all off season. So I DM'd the guy.
Someone on a burner?
Maybe. I don't think so, though. Maybe. I DM'd the guy. I'm like, hey, man, like, how do you know Sadiq has been in Colorado doing high altitude training? Like, I'm not saying I don't believe you, but just before I waste my time and ask him about it.
Right.
He's like, so this gentleman or lady, I believe it's a gentleman, I believe his name's Mark. Mark, shout out to you if you're listening. If that is your real name.
Mark Bartlestein?
No.
Do that whole thing again.
He said that this gentleman recently got shoulder surgery, and the doctor who did his labrum surgery is friends with the Pistons doctor, and he told his doctor who told this guy. Then I asked Sadiq, I was like, hey, somebody told me this from Twitter. Is this true? And he's like, yeah. So then we talked about it. So, yes, I talked to Sadiq about him living in Colorado with Aaron Dotson, who's a Pistons video guy. They've lived there the last 2 months until they had to report back to camp for Summer League. And Sadiq has been training in the mountains and picked up hiking. So go check that out on The Athletic.
That is such a, I was, my follow-up to this was going to be, what do you think is like the coolest and most unique thing that's happened that you were able to find a story? This is certainly up there.
Yeah, for, that's up there.
That's incredible.
That's
I'm going to share my favorite psychopath. I think it might transcend being a psychopath. I think he's just a sociopath. So my favorite little thing in the story was that his rationale was like, he didn't just pick somewhere random. It was basically like, if you can be in shape at the highest altitude in America, then you can be in shape anywhere.
Yeah.
That is insane. That is insane. It's like, he didn't just go there because it's a pretty little escape. He's like, nah, man, it's part of the grind. Yeah. He's the Terminator.
He's different, man. That guy, I've very much thoroughly enjoyed getting to know him in the work relationship we have.
Yeah.
He's a interesting guy in all the best ways possible and just a nice human being. And again, at Summer League, he told me I'm the drippiest beat writer of all time. I don't know if he even knows that to be fact, but he said it. So shout out to Sadiq.
From the man himself.
From Sadiq himself.
Another little nugget in there, but I won't give away what exactly I'm talking about. It'll be for the people who will read it or have read it. We got to give, we got to get Paul George to give Sadiq some lessons.
Yeah, that part was funny.
That was I was not expecting that. Anyways, James, now we can move. Yeah. We can move on to Summer League. Let's lead with the question that everybody wants to know. To the best of your knowledge, I think the next game is against the Pacers
on Tuesday.
Is Jaden Ivey done for Summer League?
My guess is yes.
Yeah.
He tweeted, "It's nothing serious." He did not return after shooting the free throws, and when he did come back on to the bench late in the game, he was still limping. Saw him after the game in the back, he was still limping. I don't think it's serious, like you said, but he definitely has a sprained ankle. Like, it's not something, I would be very surprised if he plays again.
And so you're just going to roll out, what, the Boeheims and Sabin Lee then?
Yeah, I think we're entering, so I'm back in Detroit. I left Vegas Sunday morning. We're entering the part of Summer League where even I might not watch. Because Kill is done, as I reported last week. Stewart, I believe, has played. I think Saturday was his last game, to my knowledge. Yeah. Cade's not playing. Sadiq's not playing. Gabrielle's not
Livers?
Playing. Livers will probably play. Whew, maybe. Okay, I don't know. Something. Let's start there. He's been my Summer League MVP so far for the Pistons.
And it's not close.
The other Isaiah's made it kind of close, but Livers is it.
I mean, in terms of like, you're proving something to me that I genuinely like, okay, so you probably didn't even have to be here. That's
you
how
are him
been playing. Right. And I think the maybe the revelation that a lot of us have had is he potentially starting at the four?
So I'm going to do a depth chart later this week, prediction, my first one. I think there's a world where Livers is the starting four.
Yeah.
And Zay's you have the Zay front court.
Yeah. Oh, you think they would do Livers for Isaiah five?
I think Isaiah's starting no matter what. Yeah. I don't. Mm. There are people who don't think that. They're starting. Isaiah Stewart is going to start on opening night. I don't.
If Isaiah Stewart is starting on opening night, then what I would want it to be would be Cade, Ivy, Sadiq, Isaiah, Nerlens Noel.
I think.
That's crazy defense right there. That's insane defense.
It is, but.
And they can space a little bit. Well, yeah, they got pretty good spacing on that.
Yeah, but I think Cade, Ivy, Livers, Sadiq, Stu is even better spacing.
You think they're going to go that young? Immediately?
Yeah, have you seen this roster? Like, this team's younger than last year's team.
Right, I know, but if the whole point of getting the vets is, well, I guess that doesn't mean that they have to start. Plus, you have to, man, it's crazy because you still have to throw in Bagley, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm excited to kind of, like, actually dive into what I think the depth chart will be.
Yeah.
So that'll be later this week. But really quick, because I know everybody wants to talk about Ivy and Duren. Defensively, Livers was phenomenal in that first game. Like, just the rotations, the communication. I asked him about it after the second game in which he hit every three he put up and scored 20.
Well, he was four or five, but
Oh, he missed one. Scored 20, so he's had a great offensive showing and a spectacular defensive showing. I asked him, I was like, to have the understanding of NBA defense and communication and rotations and things like that, like young guys struggle with that early on. Like, did you struggle with that, especially given you were off for the first 7 months of the year or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm going to be honest, and this is no shot at Coach Beilein at all. When Juwan Howard came there, we NBA Lego all day. Like, yeah, it was hard at first, but then after doing it for a little bit, like, it became second nature. So I just think intellectually, and I wrote this in my story after the game and as part of the tweet for the story, like, there are a lot of basketball players at Summer League. Isaiah Livers looks like a professional.
Yeah.
And I just think that's the best way to put it.
That's what I meant when I said, you know, is this year two for him? This is year two for him.
This is second year, yep.
And I'm watching him in Summer League. I'm like, I don't think you need this. I actually don't think that you need to be here. Super disruptive on defense. Even in that first game, he goes 3 of 10, 1 for 8 from three. But even on offense, he wasn't taking bad shots. They just They just didn't go in, right? Yeah. And I agree with you.
Like, he's shown that he is good enough to be an NBA rotation player, at least for this Pistons team. Like, I know what you mean. Like, he shouldn't be there, but he should. Like, it's good for him to get this because how much time he's missed, of course. And I say the same thing with Isaiah Stewart. Like, obviously Isaiah Stewart is better than Summer League, but I bet you, I've seen it on Twitter. Everybody is super excited about Isaiah Stewart's space in the floor.
But the one
except sequence, me because I've known this was going to happen.
Yeah. The one thing that happened in that first game that drove me insane, it's nobody's fault. It happens. It's not actually something worth being. The little butterfingers in the corner, because that was cash.
Oh, yeah.
He was hitting that shot. That was cash. 100%.
He was either going to shoot it or he was going to hit my man on the baseline faster than he did. He was just going to get it and go instead of fumbling.
Hit a little drop step on him.
Yeah. Want to go there now? Let's just knock those two out.
What, Isaiah Stewart?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he's he went 5 of 9 from three in two games.
Something like that.
I don't think the idea is for him to start the year at the four. This is my understanding.
Wait, okay.
I think they want to get Durin run. I think eventually they hope there is a world where Durin and Stewart are the starting front court. I don't think it's this year. I could be wrong. It could be the start of this year. I would be surprised. But I think the idea is Stewart's – to get him to space the floor, he's able to get that kind of – when you're the four in that system, you're able to be more on the perimeter, just how things are designed. You're pushed to shoot the ball. Mm-hmm. So getting him there now to get used to letting the ball fly, and not that he needs to get used to it, but in a game setting within the offense, I think the idea is to eventually have those two play together or have Bagley and Stu play together. Like, he's going to play with other bigs a lot this year, and he'll probably be the four in those situations because he's probably the only – of the guys they got, he's probably the one that most suit. Like, Nerlens is a five. Durin is a five. Yeah. Bagley is a five. Olynyk is a five. So Stewart is the one that can go back and forth. So he's going to play with two bigs a lot, but I also think it's just, like, a rhythm thing and getting comfortable. But, yeah, he's shotting the ball very well. It's a surprise to nobody, but especially me. It was funny at the halftime of the second game. I think he should have shot one at the end of the half, mm-hmm. and he has to walk past where I'm sitting to go to the half, and he hit me on the chest and said, I should be 2 for 3. and he was sweaty as shit. Like, my whole shirt had sweat on it, but he's like Jordan Brink. Shout out to Jordan Brink, who's 2-0 as a Summer League coach. He said that Isaiah was hunting a little bit for the three-point shot. He said that's exactly what we wanted.
Good.
So he's been fun to watch. Let's go Ivy and Durin.
Cool.
Give me your non-Pistons cape honest truth about Ivy in Summer League.
Let me lead with this. I'm curious to see. I was thinking about this about 20 minutes before we started because I was rehearsing in my head. I don't think I know Jaden Ivey enough to call him Jaden or to call him Ivy. For the foreseeable future, he has to be, you know what I mean?
His full name?
He has to be Jaden Ivey. I don't feel like I know him enough yet.
Is his full name one syllable? Jaden, no, two.
Jaden Ivey, it's four.
Jaden Ivey. Yeah, what was I doing? Jaden Ivey.
What's going on here? Yeah.
Sorry.
It's two syllables. I don't fit. And same with Jalen Durin. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, you got Jalen at the, you know, it doesn't feel right. So for now, Jaden Ivey and Jalen Durin.
I love that. It's funny.
In the first game, the one, you know, Mark Jones throughout the broadcast was like, you know, Ivey looks like there's a lot of jitters. He just needs to, you know, kind of bring it under control. I think that's just how he plays. And to his credit, I think he did a lot better job in the 6 minutes of run that he got in the
second
game.
He was phenomenal in that 6 minutes.
He was fantastic in that game. Got up to, I think he had 10 points, or it was, and then 11 after the free throw, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
But he was fantastic.
Yeah, he had 8 and 5 minutes and then shot the 3 free throws
right
after he rolled his ankle.
Right. Body control was a lot better. His change of speeds was a lot better.
He knew whoever was in front of him couldn't stay in front of him.
Right. A lot better command of the game in the second game compared to the first game. So Mark Jones was onto something. There definitely was a lot of jitters. But again,
really quick, Johnny Davis stinks. He got a Taco Bell commercial before the draft.
I didn't even see that.
You haven't seen the Johnny Davis Taco Bell commercial? It came out before the draft. Shout out his agent. Shout out to his agent.
Facts.
That's the most random guy to get a commercial before the draft. Go ahead.
We'll do some more players from Summer League that we like in a little bit.
Of course, I'll let you get. We're going to get our Keegan Murray and Ben Math off. No question.
Yes, we will. But anyways, even at the end of the first game, Jaden Ivey was like, I do need to slow it down. Like, I was definitely a little bit out of control. I will give him a lot of credit. He was pulling off some passes in that first game that I, like, never even saw in a whole year at Purdue, in the whole last year. So one of the things that we had said on the show before was it always felt like he always made the easy pass, which, no, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's nothing overly outstanding about that.
He did. And he even struggled with some passes in the first game. Like, it was very good and then very bad as well.
Right. Yeah. But there were the ones that were good were enough to make me go, ooh, was I already wrong about this? This is fun.
Yeah.
Jalen Duren, ladies and gentlemen.
Just a kid man, man child.
I loved what you wrote. You were like, I need to see a birth certificate.
I do, man. I've never seen a teenager built like that. Stanley is the closest, but Stanley's not 7 foot.
Did you hear, I don't know if you've heard Dwayne talk about this before. I feel like maybe you've written that he said this before, so surely you do know it. But they had Dwayne join the booth with Mark Jones and Doris Burke, who, by the way, are just a phenomenal duo together. And apparently, Dwayne's comp of Jalen Duren was like an early days Sean Kemp.
Ooh, he hasn't said that to us. I like that.
And this was on the heel. And heel end, tail end.
Dwayne coached Sean.
He recruited him.
I don't know. Yeah, and recruited him.
He recruited him at Kentucky.
Yep, and coached him in Seattle.
So he knew him for a long time.
Yeah.
This was on the tail end of him throwing down like 2 lobs. So we were like, I'm sure everybody at home was like, oh my God, wait a minute. That's something that you shouldn't have given us that because we're going to latch onto that for the rest of his career. Super disruptive on defense. I mean, just having the idea of having just a rotation buzzsaw of him, Bagley, and Isaiah, in terms of their blocking ability, is just, I can't. And then, brother, if that's not the jumpy guy that we've been waiting for Cade all along, I don't know who is. Because to open the game with
Jordan
a set.
Brink.
This is a Jordan Brink
fan
club.
He's on Pistons Twitter. He must be on Pistons Twitter because he opened summer league play with a Jaden Ivey throwing a oop to Jalen Duren.
My goodness. Jordan Brink, James encouraged me because I was nervous to text him and be like, good job, I love you, because I don't want to be annoying to people. James encouraged me to do it, and so I did that because this is a Jordan Brink Stan account, an open invitation to the podcast for Jordan Brink whenever he wants.
You met Jordan Brink before, and he's a fan of the pod. He likes you. He likes Hankel hours.
Love it. So yes, I could not be more in love with both of these players. Jaden, they were both super disruptive on defense, jumping into their hips are changing direction. Everybody's, and you know what else I loved?
What?
You know what I loved about what Jordan is doing with this team? Dude, that bench is so loud and so animated and there's so much energy. They're getting up and they're gassing everybody up. They're yelling at refs. I love it. I don't know how loud they are in the gym, but on the broadcast, it's so much fun because I'm like, these dudes care. These dudes care about what's going on.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed, but I believe it. I know. I mean, that's something even during the regular season with Dwayne. Like the bench, it's like something they push as a coaching staff from Dwayne on down. Like you be engaged, you clap for your teammates. Like we're all for one, and it carried over to summer league for sure. My thoughts on Ivy, I thought he was okay in game one. Obviously, I thought he was very bad in the first half and pretty good in the second half.
Yeah.
Just learning to, like, you already touched on it, learning to control his pace, learning to play with. He missed a couple layups because he was going too fast. He tripped a couple times over himself. He jumped without a plan with the ball a couple times with some just bad turnovers. Then he got comfortable, got to the rim. I think he got to the free throw line 6 times in game one. I don't think, unlike Cade and Killian, like, I don't think he's going to have an issue getting to the line as a rookie, just because naturally how he plays, and refs tend to call fouls and for guys
he doesn't
that
absorb
that
contact the way that, like, Cade does. He right. just, like, flails through it.
And it looks, yeah, it looks more dangerous because of how athletic he is.
Yes.
And yeah, and then in game two, that 5 minutes was, he was the best athlete on the floor, and it wasn't even close, and you could tell. He's shooting very well from three. That part I don't believe in yet. Like, I think he's 3 for 6 or 4 for 8 or something like that.
He had some bad misses in that first game, but what I respected is that he was shooting them.
Yeah, he was shooting them. And I still have questions about the form. It's a little, the release, like, he doesn't really extend his arms. The footwork's not the best. I don't believe he's a mid-30s to low-40s three-point shooter. Like, I think that part is going to come down, but he's clearly aggressive. He's clearly athletic. He can get to the rim. He's going to have highlight moments throughout the year. How do I say this? He's been good. The highlights are fun. I would just temper expectations just a little bit just based on what I've seen on the timeline.
That's the rookie of the year as far as I'm concerned.
and Durin, too. Like, Durin is an athletic freak. I even liked the fact that he, like, feels kind of comfortable with, like, the turnaround on the baseline.
I was going to – verbatim.
Like, it didn't go in. But, like, he's fine. Like, he feels comfortable taking it. And, like, if that dude, that athletic freak has that at some point, that's good.
I literally, when that happened, because it was, like, his second touch of the game. Yeah. And he just, on the baseline, he takes it. I almost texted you, what the – is he doing that? Is that what we're doing with him this year?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. I mean, nice. If you get into summer league, I know he was on a minute restriction in that first game. If you're getting down to Vegas and you're like, hey, man, I want to try some stuff out. That's what it's for. That's what we want you to do. We know that you can throw shit down. You can, you know, swat some stuff off the backboard. Like, we know that. Who's most likely to shatter a backboard? Him or Isaiah Livers on the chase downs? I mean, it's definitely
Livers
Jalen
had
Durin.
One that was. I mean, yeah, but Livers had one that was tough. Yeah, I was shocked. That foot's
Ooh.
Fine.
Ooh.
Or go can ahead, I, and then we'll have two more guys to talk about. And
can I walk something back? Maybe this was one of the guys.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Are we sure that Saben Lee is going to be on this basketball team?
That's one of the guys.
Are we sure? Yeah, was I wrong about that? Because I think I might have been wrong
Saban,
about that.
Or him and Killian. Okay. Yeah, Saben has not been good.
No.
In summer league. Just slow moving the ball, slow run the offense. Again, I wrote it like it seems like he's still processing way too slowly. Would I be shocked if Saben is not on this team going into camp? No. I'll say that.
Ooh, going into camp even, when you can have a bigger roster.
Yeah, because they have the Pistons have $8 million in cap space and no roster spots. So that's enough room to sign like a NBA player.
Bryn Forbes hasn't even signed yet, has he?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Frank Jackson's still out there.
Oh, that's too bad.
Shout out to Langston Galloway. He's still out there.
And Langston Galloway's out there too. Colin Sexton, still out there.
Yeah.
Cavs are reportedly working on that one, though. I think the trail's kind of gone cold on that one. Not even for Detroit. I mean, anybody getting him. No, the Saban thing, I mean, he's just dribbling the ball into the ground.
It hasn't been pretty. Do you want to talk about Killian? Because I know there's obviously people thought he played really well in his only game, and some people thought he was the worst.
I thought he played kind of well. So there you go.
This is my thing. I thought he was fine.
Yeah. The step back was dumb, as it always is, but, you know.
It kind of goes back to what we're seeing from everybody else. Like, Isaiah stepping outside – both Isaiah stepping outside of their box. Durin trying to step outside of his box. Like, Killian is living in his box, doing what he – like, he had a stat line that he would have in the regular season, only 4 shots in a summer league game. I'd like to see him be more aggressive. Some people just want him to do what he does. It depends on tomato, I guess.
I would agree of being a little bit more on being a little bit more aggressive, but I would say,
and he had 6 fouls, in the game.
Which wasn't great. But you got to refine your box first, right? Right before you can step outside of it. Like Isaiah knows, if I just rebound and score inside, I'm gonna have a pretty decent NBA career. But I want to be more than that, right?
So his what is box, he doing?
So he's going out and shooting threes. But what I'm saying is, because his that the aforementioned box of if I can rebound and just score inside, I'll be good. He knows he can do that, but I want to do more. So what I'm saying is, Killian, like, what can he do? He can play defense and he can pass.
And that's what he did. So step out. Again, play within the offense. I get it. Just like to see you maybe make a play for yourself a few more times than you have. But
it's hard when you're
touchy,
when you...
It's a touchy subject because there's such so many people love him and so many people. I just think I would have liked to see Killian be more aggressive shooting the ball. And I'm not just talking about jumpers. Like, don't go up there heaving. Like, get to the rim.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, four shots for a guy who started the last 2 years in summer league. Like, you want to see a little bit more.
I saw the he posted a picture on, I think it was IG, of him finishing with his right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, don't tease us. MIP season inbound?
So Keegan Murray.
Yeah, Keegan Murray's been great. Outstanding. The game, the Kings Magic game.
Right in front of me because Pistons are next.
I got to disagree with you on something. What? I love that the Kings called a set in sudden death. I love it.
No.
I love it. No. Hold on. It sucks for me because I have to wait for this game in order for the Pistons to even start. It sucks for you because you're there working. Yeah. But as like a, if I'm a fan of the Kings, if I'm a, like a, just as a guy who's just watching this game, I love it. There are rings on the line, man. This matters. Go for it. Sudden death. Run a set.
And they lost.
Which that's the part that sucks. Is they
Shout
lost.
Out to Paolo. For making the right read twice with the ball in his hands in that game. Like, he didn't force a shot. He made the right reads. One was a turnover, but he tried to make the right play.
RJ Hampton is definitely going back to the New Zealand Breakers, though.
He's like trying.
He's trying.
I had a little bit of RJ Hampton stock left. I actually sold it to Bitcoin.
When you were in Vegas, sold it?
I ran to the closest table and spent it.
Took that to the blackjack table? Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Benedict Math. I'm a fan, man. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, I was a fan. I'm even more of a fan. He's just fun.
Yeah.
He can shoot. He's athletic. Like, he's not Ivy athletic, but he's a notch and a half below, maybe a notch below his jumper. I'm a fan, man. Like,
he's great.
I'm going to watch Pacers basketball. Like, I'm a sicko.
You know, Keegan Murray wasn't doing anything that we didn't already know he could do. Like, every shot that he put up, every make that he had, I'm like,
in that Orlando game, I got there early because I wanted to watch Paolo versus Keegan. He hit somebody with, like, a combo cross turnaround midi that was, like, I did the, like, when you're, like, listening to, like, Sean Price or something, just the scrunch face, like you're in New York and it's cold. And somebody says something mean. Keegan's going to be nice, man. Like, I don't want to say it. Keegan's going to be good. I don't care how old he is. I don't care if you think there's a ceiling, whatever. I think there's a world where Keegan averages 20 points a game.
Well, I don't think that's – I think that's just – by year three, he's going to be doing that.
Well, my thing is, like, what – we're going back to
– Sacramento?
But, like, going back to draft talk, like, he's not going to get any better. He's not going to get much, but there's not a high ceiling. Give me a guy that's going to score 20 a game every time if it's efficient.
Well, here's the thing, though.
I don't care how old he is.
Is if in 3 years, is he going to be averaging 20? Because they're still going to have Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox.
Keegan walks into 12 points just by cutting and running.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, is there too much going around there?
No, but I think they're not going to play through him, but I'm saying he'll stumble into 12 points alone.
Well, plus, like, the whole appeal of having Domantas Sabonis is how good of a passer
he is.
That's
part of it, yeah. Keegan's
like, one of the best passing.
That.
Right, yeah, on those backdoor cuts, actually. Like, yeah. when he's trapped up in the post and he just throws that shit behind his head, you're 100% right. Dude, Sacramento is going to be
Keegan's
so
Keegan's
going to
have 10
nasty.
Points a game off baseline cuts. No
they
question.
Davion Mitchell, too. I don't remember if people know that I almost interviewed him. It was either him. I don't know if I've told this part of the story.
You told me.
Yeah, getting Cade was like a four-month-long process when we did that interview. And before we even got Cade, they...
And he's talking about, if you're a new listener, he's talking about at his former job.
At my previous job when I was able to sit down with Cade for like 20 minutes.
It's on YouTube.
It is on YouTube. Just look up Cade Cunningham is just some guy on Motel Noah. Thank you, James, for helping me out with the plug there.
Yes, I know you wanted... Yeah.
Even though I don't actually get money from that anymore.
Yeah, and we're no free pub over here.
No free publicity for that other company.
Yeah.
But so in like, I think December, I got a message on Slack that was like, Cam Johnson, Davion Mitchell, Cole Anthony. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they were
love
like,
love one, marry one.
And they were like, pick one. We're trying to get an interview for All-Star. My brain was like, well, the best player there is Cam Johnson. I was like, give me Cam Johnson. Because I was like, I could tell him the story about how I was writing the story about how we were drafting him like four picks before we actually did. And then Phoenix took him. So I chalked it. So I had to erase my entire story and then freak out over who we were going to draft. I thought it would be Nasir Little. Nope, it was Sekou Doumbouya.
Yeah, it was a Sekou draft, yeah.
And then I was like, no, I've had a lot of really mean takes about Davion Mitchell. I should do it. I should interview him and then read him my mean takes and see what he has to say about that.
Yeah.
And then like a month later, they were like, it was told to me that, hey, we didn't want to tell you this because we didn't want to get you too excited, but we're trying to get Cade. And then
They got Cade.
So it was great. So I almost interviewed Davion Mitchell. And then fun story about him. Never mind. I'm not going to keep going into this. But he was supposed to do an interview with that company and then just didn't show up.
Shout out to Davion.
And then he said he was having Wi-Fi problems, and that was why. So it's funny, whatever.
Sometimes you just gotta lie.
Anyways, in the summer league, Jabari Smith, another player I've really enjoyed watching. Another guy who's really getting his shots off and blocking everything. I believe everything is the stat.
All right. I'm gonna say something.
Is it about Chet?
I'm gonna issue a partial apology.
Josh Giddey?
Josh Giddey isn't trash.
Yes! The dunk did it, huh?
No. I still just don't think he's going to be very good when it's time for OKC to be good.
Which is when?
But he's not trash.
When is it time for
And most of that stuff I hope you guys know is like a bit. Like, I obviously don't think he's super trash. He just doesn't look like a basketball player to me. And when I say that, it's like he, like I said again, he dribbles like he needs DW40. Like there's no mobility in his move. Like in his move, it's so stiff.
But then you put up 17 assists, and what?
I had to.
When is it time for Oklahoma City to be good?
After they get Wanyama next year,
Wembanyama.
When it's Wembanyama, Chet, Shea, Giddey, and either one of the Jalen Williamses.
And Lou Dort on that.
And Lou Dort.
5-year, 87.5.
Oh,
that's
and Poku.
Great, and Poku, which the jury is still out.
I still got all my stock. And my Wiseman stock is, yeah, buddy.
That's looking good. Yeah, that's
he
looking good.
He balled out yesterday.
Yeah, 100%. I think the Poku stock, what's the thing that we've said about him? His highlights are as high as they can possibly be, and his lowlights are as low as they can be. Yeah. He's like Bruno Caboclo.
Who is actually at Summer League still.
Is he?
Yeah, I forgot who he was with. I was watching before I left to go to the arena one of those days. He was playing for somebody, and he was on TV. Yeah.
He's still 2 years away from being 2 years away. Dude, that
I almost looked it up to see like where we're at in that. But I think we've surpassed the 4 years.
Has it been 2 years? So are we here?
So it would be 6 years. If he's 2 years away from being 2 years away, so that would be in the sixth year. He should be here. I think we might have passed. No, Bruno was – I don't remember what year Bruno was. But, yeah, he's still at Summer League.
Let me ask. I would have done this last week because this is when I believe that's when the story came out. So we have after this year, Dwayne has one more year. The extension that he signed, otherwise he would have been done this year, but he has one more year. I looked this up. Don't worry, because we talk about this a lot. I did finally look it up. He has after this year. It's one more year.
Yeah.
I'm asking this to say that Jordan Brink story was pretty interesting to me.
Don't start.
I'm not throwing anything out there, but is there a chance that that's somebody that they look at? I'm genuinely not trying to pump anything. I'm genuinely only asking your opinion.
You're insinuating that Dwayne would be done after that.
Yes. Assuming Dwayne's done and he assumes a front office role. Yes.
I don't know. I would be surprised. I would be surprised. Because I think by then they would probably want a coach that with some experience because they would be hoping to turn a corner.
Well, I guess they're not trying to. Yeah, I didn't know if there was like an Eric.
If things go south.
Yeah.
And maybe and they're like still, if they have to press reset on something. But I think they're past that. I think there's a world where maybe Jordan Brink's an assistant coach by then. Maybe.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I also don't know if he has any interest in that from the story. Like
that's true.
Obviously, it's not like his thing. Yeah.
That's true. Ooh, give me your quick. We didn't talk about the Rudy Gobert trade. You want to give me something there? Can I give you my take? Like it.
Yeah, Minnesota had to do something. Like I'm all for. Like when Chicago went and got DeMar. Like you can only just be blah for so long.
Yeah.
Like go do something, and they did something. Will it work? I don't know. But I'm excited to find out, like I was when Chicago got DeMar and Chicago added Vucevic. Like, I want to see.
It's a good time to do it. You finally have D'Angelo Russell and Kat being able to play games together. D'Angelo Russell had one of those
guys sucks.
Yes, but to be fair, D'Angelo Russell did just have one of the better years of his career last year. So it does feel like a good time. You know, and you finally, you know, you won a play-in game. Feels like that's probably it's not a one-to-one with the DeMar thing, but that's probably the closest example that we can get to. So, you know, I'm all the way on board with it. I will say I'm sure there are a ton of Minnesota fans who are having a hard time stomaching the fact that Rudy Gobert is on their team. And just so we're clear, if we were in their positions, I would not be like, I kind of like it, it's kind of cute. I would be like, so I'm a Kings fan then. I'd be sick.
Yeah, excuse me. You got Anthony Edwards. You got to start winning with him. You can't lose him. I like it, man. Even though he doesn't understand why they got Rudy because he's not afraid of Rudy, as that tweet went out from whenever that was, he said that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had somebody in the Timberwolves front office hit me and say they think Ant now will probably try to learn French. That's how cool he is. Like, he'll probably try to speak French to Gobert.
That's so cool.
Like, yeah. So, I'm excited to see what it is. I love Ant-Man. You know that.
Yes.
That's about it.
But you still haven't seen Hustle, though, so you don't even support all his work.
I did see it. He did
like
the job. It was fine.
Kermit Willis.
Shout out to Kermit.
Shout out to Kermit Willis.
Should we do free agency real quick? Like, I'm talking about, like, really quick.
With Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel, yeah.
Or the trade. Okay, well, we can knock this out in 30 seconds. Pistons, Knicks trade is official. They traded the draft rights to some guy that they got in the Jeremy Grant signing trade and one of those fake seconds, because you got to trade something, to the Knicks for Burks, Noel, their own second-round pick back, and another second. Two veterans, Burks, 40% three-point shooter, addresses that need. He'll
really
play.
Good Frank Jackson replacement.
Yeah, and I think, he does what everybody hoped Frank did.
Yeah.
Noel, I was under the impression that he's here for veteran leadership. I think he plays, but I don't think he plays as much as people think.
Huh.
I could be wrong. He's also always injured. So having the five bigs that they have, is a lot of those guys are always injured. Bagley's always injured.
Yes.
Noel's always injured. Durin's going through his first year. Olynyk's going to
be suspended for pulling dude's shoulders out. I'm past that. I'm not mad about that anymore. I'm past about, yeah. I'm sorry, Kelly.
Yeah, so there's that. They still have $8 to $10 million in cap space, I believe, with no roster spots, so they could do some if they wanted.
That's brilliant.
And that's why we were talking about Saban. Like, it seems like if anybody on that 15-man roster were to be gone, he only is guaranteed for $1.7 million, so it's a little bit easier to cut ties with. You want to talk? And then they signed Kevin Knox, reclamation project.
Cool. I don't care.
He was there. He was in Detroit, or he was in Vegas with the team, watching the game, sitting next to Dwayne.
Happy for him.
And Marvin Bagley, probably a little bit of an overpay, But this is how I looked at it. That's like people are like freaking out. People freak out about money, but it's not their money.
Pocket watching Tom Gore. Yeah.
This is my thing. I mean, yeah, I would be curious to see if who else was going for Bagley. But I would also say this: those teens, there's not many of those middle 8 to 12, 8 to 13 contracts. Like, people in the NBA are getting vet minimums or super high deals. And, like, you kind of need those middle ones to, like, execute, like, trades down the road. Yeah. So I wonder if maybe that was, like, part of it. So now you have, like, an Olynyk who makes 12 and a Bagley that makes, like, together that's $24 million. Like, that gets you a pretty – you know what I mean? Like, it's good to have those type of salaries on the payroll.
God, you're smart.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's based on just reading the room, it seems like some fans would have been a little bit happy if there was an option on the third year. But,
yes,
listen – they're taking that. They believe in Marvin. He's still, what, 23, 22, 23, 24 or something?
24, I think.
Something like that. So
no, I don't think he can't be that old. I think he might be turning 24.
Yeah, so. Yeah, like, I get why people say, like, that's a little too much for Marvin, and I don't even know what his role is on this team, understandably.
What else are we doing right now?
I just don't think it really hurts anything right now. But
sure. Two things. One, it was very cute on the broadcast when Mark Jones and Doris Burke were like, look how hard Luka Garza is trying. And I was like, really? Even you guys are going to do this? Second Gaze, thing, man. He looked tan, though. He looked good.
I mean, it's hot in Vegas. Lord have mercy. I'm so happy to be home.
Second thing, KD needs to relax. Both number one seeds, please. Yeah, I'm sure, dude. I'm sure in an ideal world you would like to go to Miami or Phoenix.
Did he tweet that?
No, but that's the Woj. Yeah, like... Where do you want to get traded? The best teams in the league. Cool, yeah. Bro. I'm sure that's what you would like to happen. I need you very quickly to wrap up on this. Why not us? I know it's not us, but I just need you to end it. Why not us?
Are you ready to trade Cade? Answer yes or no.
No.
Are you ready? Okay. Are you ready to trade Sadiq, Isaiah, Ivy, and something else?
If I hadn't heard the stories I'd heard about Sadiq over the last 2 months, I would say for Kevin Durant, yes.
So you're fine with rolling out with a Corey Joseph,
and this is what
Cade
the problem
Cunningham,
becomes.
Kevin Durant, Kelly Olynyk, and New Orleans Noel line. Like, well, then what's the point?
Exactly, and that's what the problem becomes. Okay, yeah. See, I just needed you specifically to look at me and tell me why not. Now I'm out. Don't want it anymore. Thanks.
Yeah, Vegas was fun. I love Summer League. I hate Vegas. Ran into Luke Kennard. I went to a random sneaker spot and ran into Langston. I told you I'd ran into him.
Yep.
Shout out to Langston.
And Johnny for doing the show with Langston. Remember they had a pod together?
Yeah, they did. Shout out to Johnny. Shout out to Steve Smith, who I chopped it up with for like 20 minutes, and we were talking Michigan State basketball and Pistons. Like, me and Steve have only interacted on Twitter and when I do NBA TV, but like that was the first time we like kicked it in person. He like saw me immediately, and like it was really cool because I'm first of all, my dad's favorite player is Steve Smith, and they're like the same age.
Yeah.
And I have a Steve Smith Hawks jersey, and I love Steve Smith, so that's like one of those surreal moments.
Yeah,
he like knew who I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, like,
what's
this
the,
is a fun group of guys to cover, and they have great personalities, so it's always a good trip.
What's like the food in Vegas? Like, what's the, you know what I mean? Like, what do you, like, what are they good at?
Oh, they don't have a thing. No, they don't have a thing. So it's like a lot of, like, they have, did a lot of Thai and Chinese food. Yeah, pretty much Thai and Chinese food. And what else did I eat? That's about it. Donuts, burgers. Like, they, it's like very, like, they have food courts and they have, like, fancy food courts. Like, I don't know. Oh, I went to a, shout out to Tina Jane, Pistons social media president.
Yeah.
We went to a, she's good with the fusions. And she found, and she knows, she put us on game to this Mexican Chinese fusion spot.
Ooh.
Fire. Fire.
I could see that.
Really good. It was in the Cosmopolitan. Very good. All the athletic writers and editors, we had our summit out there. So like we all got together and had like 4-hour meetings on Friday. We all stayed at the Mandalay Bay. Anything else fun happened? I bought the
Shout out to Tim Cato.
Tim get better because Tim made it out there and found out he had COVID. So he was sitting in his hotel. We were like, where's Tim? We were at our meeting. Like, where's Tim? And then we found out he's just sitting in his room because he got COVID.
Oh, that's too bad. Shout out to Eric Name. Is he good?
He was there. Yep.
Nice.
Shout out to Eric. I picked up the Union 4s. It was my only shoe purchase, which I won. I gambled only $100 and I turned it into Union 4s.
Nice.
I have a question.
Okay.
For the people. Should I do like a James's sneaker collection video?
That'd be fun.
Do you think people would care?
Yeah, put it on the Bunny Cardigan Twitter. Or put it on your Twitter.
I think we have enough like sneakerheads. I just based on like some of the comments we get that like people would be interested. Do you still have your account? We can just upload it to. Or is that just a one-off?
What do you mean, my burner?
No, your YouTube.
Oh,
like, were you planning on doing anything with that, or is that?
Yeah,
just...
I don't know if I want to put. I don't know. Okay. I'm working on like a. Yeah.
A hold. I didn't know if you. Okay. Yeah, if you want me to do like a sneaker collection thing, let me know and I'll do it because a lot of people have kind of asked like recently.
Is there like a? Because at some point we're gonna have to. Do something extravagant. Is there like a... I know people care about visual podcasts. Do you think if we started a Bunny Cardigan YouTube channel, and we are going to work something out, we're going to work this out live right now. Do you think if I saved the video from these and put it on a YouTube channel, do you think people would want that? Because I know people care about visual podcasts. Is that something that would interest people?
Would that be too much work for you?
I don't know if it would be. We'll see how many people care about it.
We should like make our own like... That's what we should do.
That's what I'm saying is we might have like, to I could at do some like, point.
You should make a Bun and Cardigan YouTube page.
Okay.
Like we'll upload every podcast video. Okay. That's not too much. And I can do my sneaker stuff there.
Yeah. And when like that and whenever we like hang out or something, we can do like a vlog.
I feel like
crazy.
I feel like enough people care about us outside this pod that we it would pop off.
Do we launch that with the 100th episode, which is in like a month and a half? Or do you want to just do it ASAP?
Isn't this like episode 96?
I think this is like 93 or something. We got to figure out what we're doing for episode 100. I don't know what we're going to do.
We should do like 10 special edition shirts.
And like only 10? But it's yeah.
Make it rare.
I want everybody to be able to celebrate 100 episodes with us. You know what I mean?
But it was such a pain to make 100 hoodies. But Rod has time now.
You know what? Well, that's true. You know what I also really want to do? Maybe we shouldn't be working these out live on the show, but it's fun. Maybe it's fun to see how the sausage
maybe somebody
is made.
Will throw us ideas. Yeah.
So I've always wanted, you know how like certain podcasts will like have like an email that they have people like send stories or questions or stuff
to, and then
we read them on it. Like Ryan Rosillo does life advice, right? So they'll read an email and then they'll give advice for it. I would love to do something like that, but we can't just rip that idea off. So I want to do something like that where we have like the Bun and Cardigan at Gmail or something.
Yeah. We do need to like start our network.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Because I do think, like, the video... You heard all of us, all of this rambling.
Yeah, you guys get where we're going.
Let us know what
feedback.
You think about if we should add on to the show and continue to do this stuff. Obviously, we're going to continue to do the podcast, but to add different things, like, should we post a video? Let me know when you're listening to this, because I'm going to post this ASAP, if you want me to do a sneaker video of my collection.
If you want Nick to do something
funny, like pour beer on himself in the shower.
What is this, a circus? I can just whatever. You can only do sneaker stuff, but if you want me to pour beer on myself,
you should do like a behind the scenes of you making a video. I don't know. You'd have to have like three cameras, but
I have three. I have a Nikon D5300.
Or you should just do like a day in the life in Chicago.
I have a Panasonic Lumix G7. And I have a Canon M50. The G7 is my favorite, though.
Or like when you go to a Pistons game, like you just vlog.
What's the last Pistons game? The last Pistons game I went to, the
Clippers.
It was the Clippers, and then I went to the Laker game. But the last one I went to at LCA was when I had coronavirus.
And you gave it to the NBA.
Unknowingly, because we did not know that coronavirus existed in America yet. And I accidentally gave it to Christian.
And you don't even know if you actually had it. You're just assuming so.
Yeah, it's based just like that. In retrospect, it's like that's definitely what that was.
Right,
yeah,
right.
And that was the Bucks game, which we got throttled. So stayed at Motor City Casino for that game. Ordered a deep dish to my room, like $50
from buddies.
No, it was like a Little Caesars one. It was in the hotel, like it was like room service.
Oh, yeah,
you could get a deep dish sent to you. Yeah, I had some Coney's the other day, which I sent you pictures of. No mustard. Can't do mustard.
You're a sicko.
Mustard. It rips best. Through me, man. I just can't do mustard.
Okay. Shout out to Chris Kirshner. He's also allergic to mustard.
What are you allergic to? I'm only allergic to amoxicillin. That's it. What do you got?
Sulfa. S-U-L-F-A. Sulfa.
What is that?
I'm not sure. I think it's in certain medicines.
Okay, so that's what amoxicillin
is. I'll get like hives if I
me too.
Has it in there. Yeah.
But you're not like a peanut butter guy. You're good with everything else?
Yeah, I'm good with all that.
Cool. Now we know that about each other. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen.
really quick, my album pick, Peace Fly God, West Side Gun. West Side Gun doesn't miss.
What was I listening to when you got in? Control by SZA. I'll just do that because that's what I was just listening to.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best R&B albums of the decade. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen. If you made it this far.
The decade started 2 years ago, but yeah.
Well, it came out in 2018.
Well, it's 2022, so it didn't come out this decade.
It was the best of its decade that it came out.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant this decade. I just wanted to be a smart ass. Sorry.
The best R&B album of this decade is Honestly Nevermind by Drake. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, if you made it this far, thank you very, very much for listening. If you listen to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe if you're feeling generous. Any comments relating to the feedback that we are looking for, direct it to either James on Twitter or the official Bun and Cardigan Twitter. We will catch you guys in the next one. Peace.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.